sometimes it seems like something bad's happening, something good will come from it. You just got to look for it. And if you're looking for the bad things in life, you're going to find them. It's really easy to find the bad, negative things in life. But if you intentionally seek out the good things in life, the opportunities, you'll find those too, but you just have to look.
Welcome to the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast, a place where extraordinary people network together to share meaningful stories that inspire others. Do you have a great story you would like to share with the world? If so, go to 3oclockcoffee.com and sign up today to be on our show. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to click the subscribe button and tell a friend about the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast.
Good morning or good afternoon. It is another episode of 3 o'clock Coffee. And as usual, we always find an extraordinary person to have a cup of coffee with. No matter where I go or whoever I find, it's amazing the amount of people that you speak to that have an amazing story. And I believe everybody has a story. And that's why I like sitting down with people and having a cup of coffee. So welcome to the 3 o'clock Coffee Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So today, let me introduce you and then you can tell me a little bit about you. But I want everybody to meet Rob. And Rob, I call Rob the photographer in our office because I have another company that does photography around the country. And Rob and I met many years ago. And in my office, it's Photo Guy Rob. That's what you're known at. So I wanted to have a great conversation about life as a photographer. And Rob, tell me a little bit who you are, where you live, and let people know who you are. And just, and they're not watching the video, so if they're listening to their podcast, be descriptive. Tell life as a photographer. Yeah.
Okay.
Rob, before we do that, we have to order coffee.
I was waiting for that. Yeah.
I was so excited to talk to you and have you talk to everybody else. I forgot to order coffee. So what kind of coffee do you drink, Rob?
So I am a little bit of a coffee snob. It's kind of a little bit like wine. There's different regions. And if I go to a coffee shop, I definitely just order black coffee and judge it off the black coffee. I typically like drier climates, maybe like Ethiopia compared to maybe like Guatemala or something like that. But
Hold on.
Okay, sorry.
So you mentioned fine wine. You had my attention there. You're talking about coffee now. Dry beans and where they're located. You know a heck of a lot more about coffee than I ever imagined, more than I know. So this is, you're really into coffee. This is great.
I am. It's kind of, Vancouver has a great coffee scene and it's my thing.
That's awesome. Maybe it's because it's close to Starbucks headquarters there in Seattle.
Starbucks totally revolutionized that coffee scene.
Awesome. Well, I'm just going to get my standard old vanilla latte as I usually get. So as we're waiting for our coffees, Rob, tell me a little bit about you and life as a photographer.
Yeah, life as a photographer is adventurous. It has its ups and downs, its busy seasons. You have aspects of your business where it's the bread and butter, more money making, but maybe not super exciting. I feel oftentimes people don't understand what I do. My mom thinks I do one thing, clients think I do another thing, but really I'm kind of doing a bunch of stuff that no one really sees a lot of the time.
No, it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, I know you're passionate about photography and you start with the camera and you start taking photographs and then you start to create a business with it and make money. But what people sometimes don't realize is that your photographer, being a photographer, can change. And you end up running a company, not taking any photographs.
Yeah.
And you're running the company because there are a lot of things that happens in any business. The guy that wants to open up a cupcake place and make cupcakes because he's great at making cupcakes and his entire family says, Rob, you got to make cupcakes. You make the best cupcakes. You love making cupcakes. You go into business making cupcakes. And but the last thing you're doing is making cupcakes because you got to do everything else to run the company. Does that kind of like describe your life as a photographer?
Yeah, I'm totally at that crossroads. I'm still the service provider. I'm still the photographer. I don't have any other photographers working under me because the aspect I like is the actual photography. I do have hopes and dreams of running like a studio and have other shooters under me, but I'm just not quite there yet. I think I was close to there and then COVID hit and I really took a break. But at the moment, I'm still doing all the photos, and I do hire or outsource the things I don't really enjoy that much, like bookkeeping, some editing, and that kind of stuff.
You know, I coach a lot of different companies, and what you just said there was just brilliant. And this is what you said. You said, I outsource the things that you don't like doing. Mm-hmm. And I tell so many people in leadership to do that. It's not how you do it. It's who. Because if you stop doing all the things that you don't like, you end up running your whole life of just doing things you don't like. You're good at doing things you don't like. Yep. So it's brilliant. I think that's a great idea. And you continue to do that.
Yeah, thanks. I'm working on it. It's a work in progress for sure.
I'm still working on it too. Always in between drinking coffee and meeting with people around the country. So you mentioned COVID. You took a little break.
Yeah.
A lot of photographers did. You weren't alone, right? You were forced to take this break. But, you know, a lot of people, they feel like they're a victim, right? Oh, COVID took this away from me. Mm-hmm. I'm a victim. And I feel bad. I understand. I had a photography, still do, have a photography company around. And you don't have that victim mindset at all. You took 2 years off from your business. Tell me why you're excited.
Yeah. So I guess I want to start by saying I used to have a victim mentality, and I kind of recognized that in myself, really worked on that, and getting over that hump really changed everything in my business, my marriage, my personal life, and just the overall enjoyment I have in life, to know that I have the capability to grab life by the horns and go whatever direction I want. Obviously, life will be a little winding this way, that way, but I have some stuff in my control, and I want to try my hardest.
Yeah, I mean, does life control you, or do you control your life? Right?
Exactly. Sometimes. So. Depends on the day. Yeah, so COVID came, and at the start of COVID, I remember being super scared. The stuff the media was pumping in onto the TV and social media was quite frightening. We're like, is this like the zombie apocalypse?
So you were in Canada at the time, right? Vancouver?
Yeah, yeah. I live in Vancouver.
So you're in another country, basically, than where I am, located in Boston, about 4,000 miles the other way. And I have to say, what you saw 4,000 miles from my house was the exact same news channel. Amazing.
Well, at the time, it was the New York outbreak. And I remember them pre-digging graves and stuff. So we actually had a couple of projects started that we fully shut down. And in hindsight, I was like, ah, dang, you know, like, we probably would have been safe to continue filming and photographing those projects, but we just shut them down. So I feel on those projects, a little like 2 years behind, and I really want to start them up again. But on the other hand of things, the industry really shifted, and I had clients needing video conferencing, and I had clients needing headshots, like, well, that's what I do. I do a lot of headshots, but they needed them more now than ever because everything was online. So the video side of things was actually pretty hot and busy. And I could do a one-on-one photo shoot. I could wear a mask, stay 6 feet apart. And so headshots was pretty consistent throughout that.
Like a lot of people just said, you know, we heard bad news, and it was bad news. No doubt about it. Looking back 2 years ago, it was bad news. But you took that bad news that we're all hearing in different parts of the country, which was kind of like, how can this all be happening all at the same time? But that's another story for another podcast, another day.
Yeah. But and not me. I'm not going down that road.
Right, right. Everybody has a story, and I love listening to everybody's story. But you figured out that you needed to shift. You shifted fast.
We shifted, but my wife and I also did take time. And it was honestly one of my favorite points in our marriage, because we were together every day. We would take walks outside. It was the summer, and kids was one of the things we wanted in our marriage, but we have so many businesses and so many things going on, there was never the right time. So we kind of took that opportunity to say, hey, let's give it a shot now, because life is never going to stop the same way it did during the pandemic. And luckily for us, we were quite blessed. Having kids was fairly easy, and 2 years later, we have 2 kids under 2.
So you go from photographer to dad, right? Mm-hmm. Dad really quickly. And 2 under 2. It seems like a country music song.
Yeah, it probably is.
That's amazing. Not only did you take advantage of your business to think differently and shift, but I mean, the pandemic perhaps changed the way your mindset happened, and now you have a beautiful family.
100%. Even when sometimes it seems like something bad's happening, something good will come from it. You just got to look for it. And if you're looking for the bad things in life, you're going to find them. It's really easy to find the bad, negative things in life. But if you intentionally seek out the good things in life, the opportunities, you'll find those too, but you just have to look.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, this is one of the, some people have asked, you know, why are you bringing up the pandemic? Don't mention the word COVID. I kind of do. It kind of brings it up because for this exact reason is that it wasn't negative to everybody. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of good that came out of it. Yeah, there was a lot of bad, no doubt about it. But when you're sitting down at a cafe talking to Rob about his two beautiful kids and what changed his life, it shares with the world that you took the time and the effort, just be self-aware, right? Self-aware of your surroundings, what's happening in the world. You looked at your future self and where do you want to be? What does that future self look like? And exactly what you did.
Yeah, it's just something my wife and I do on a regular basis.
Make babies or?
No, we're done.
I stayed on a regular basis, so I didn't know.
Yeah, no, we look at what we want our life to be like and try to achieve it. So it's almost like a monthly thing. It's like a regular conversation and try to set targets in our life.
Talk to me about your future life that you speak of. And you sit down with your wife every month and talk about your future goals. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Since having two kids, we had a kid 6 weeks ago. So we're a little out of that world at the moment. Asleep.
So this is why you drink black coffee.
Absolutely.
This is why. It's all making sense. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. But at the end of the day, if you don't know where you want to go, you're never going to end up there. You may end up somewhere else, but at least having the intention to go over there or that far in life, you got to have that intention.
Absolutely. I mean, the reason why I bring that up, because one of my good friends, Dr. Benjamin Hardy, he's my coach, good friend, met him many years ago. He wrote a book called Be Your Future Self Now. Be your future self now. And I've supersized it to my mind where I'll take myself 1 year from today. Where do I want to be, first off? Create that vision of where I want to be. And then what I'm like locked in on it, this is it. I will stop being that person, right?
And because I have the book. It looks, sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing. It kind of changed my mindset about being your future self now, like right now, right? So if you want to be a photographer, start being a photographer right now. So if you're out taking photographs and somebody asks you what you're doing, you are a photographer. Just that's who you are right now.
Yeah. I actually have a really funny story about exactly what you just said. I was working in the TV and film industry as a set construction guy. We'd build the sets. They'd film them. And then we'd throw them away. It's quite a wasteful industry, actually. But I wasn't happy. I loved doing photography, but I never knew I could just like be a photographer. And met my wife. She's super entrepreneurial. She has her degree in business. And when we were on our honeymoon in Spain or on the beach, she's like, I can tell you're not happy where you are. Why don't you just be a photographer? I'm like, you can't just be a photographer. You need clients. You need this. You know, you can't just be one. She's like, yeah, you can just be a photographer. So on a southern beach in Spain, I quit my job, never went back. We called a graphic designer here in Vancouver, designed a logo, designed a website all on our honeymoon and came back with no clients, but I was officially a photographer. And you just had to be what you want to be.
Yeah, I tell people that all the time, and people ask me, you know, different things. And I tell people I actually have two 25-year plans, like exactly where I want to be 25 years. Well, I'd be 20 now because I actually did it 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm living into that plan. And what happens is because I had that plan, that long-term plan in my mind, and I actually wrote it down, the decisions I make in that period of time over 20 years are going to be different than if I didn't have that vision of having this plan. For example, I want to have a log home in Maine. Mm-hmm. Not now, but then. Otherwise, I would have it now. But I want it then, because just because that's where I want it. And I have to make decisions along that way so that that reality can come true. Otherwise, I don't know. I'd spend the money or do different things. Mm-hmm. You don't know. So by having that long-term 25-year goal, it keeps you on track. But also, it's very important to enjoy the now, right now. You know, be a photographer right now. Mm-hmm. Enjoy our cup of coffee together right now. And so many people are distracted. You know, the camera is distracting for so many people.
Yeah.
It's amazing that, you know, I first started my journey as a photographer many years ago, and I was super focused on the camera. That got me focused on everything else in my surroundings and what happens. And it's just ironic that these phones, you know, the iPhone Max 17, iPhone Max 20, it's actually only up to 14, but I said the 17 and 18, Rob, in case somebody's watching this video like 2 years from today, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, we live in such a distractive world and everybody's too busy looking into the camera, right?
Totally. And even thinking about photography as a career and other photographers, the camera also gets in the way. The gear gets in the way. The shiny gear gets in the way. It's just what you said reminded me of that. And to run a profitable business, you can't always be buying these new cameras coming out every single year.
Yeah.
Maybe you can, but that wasn't my priority. The gear is kind of secondary and the ideas are what I let shine.
Yeah, and not just ideas, but you execute on those ideas, right? Very because true. Ideas are a dime a dozen.
True.
Not many people execute it. And I mean, here you are full time having a family. You're doing it. You're living it. You're in it right now.
Oh, I'm in it.
You're so into it. That's awesome. To your point about the gear, I always say that a lot of people ask me when I worked at the White House, they'll say, what kind of camera did you have? What did you do? The first, you know, not the first or the last, but a lot of people ask me that. And believe it or not, it was like a $300 camera.
Yeah. You're either a good photographer or you're not.
Because that's what I needed for that task. Yeah, it's not about the gear. It wasn't about the gear. It's just that that camera worked for what I was trying to accomplish. It was a tool. Mm-hmm. And nobody believes me. It's not about the gear. And that's just stuff photography, right? That's everything else. Everybody else feels like they need this to get that. You need this to get that. You really don't.
Totally.
You don't at all.
Yeah, if you let shiny new things inspire you, that inspiration will wear off. Getting new cameras is fun, don't get me wrong, but that feeling will wear off and then a new shiny thing will come along and you'll try to fill that void with that new shiny thing and that inspiration will wear off and it's a very cyclical thing.
Yeah, we get caught in the gap.
Yeah.
You get caught in the gap because you're always trying to compare yourself to that future and then... But no, you're kind of caught in that space. You're not actually in the now. You're actually looking at what you want to be at, and you never really enjoy your life. If that all makes sense to the listeners, it's so true. What was your, if you're watching this video, Rob is, he's trendy. I mean, you got the leather jacket going on. You got the hoodie going on. You have these perfectly framed eyeglasses that look like Mason. But you also have hair the color of the Grinch.
I do have neon green hair at the moment.
And by the way, it is December, so Grinch was on my mind. I'm not saying you're a Grinch, Rob, but
I thought of it too.
You're switching to red? You're switching to red soon? Or?
Well, naturally, I'm ginger, so red's kind of my natural color, but maybe not fire red. Yeah, I like to have fun with it sometimes and switch it up. You know, I pray that my corporate clients can look past it and see my skill as a photographer and how comfortable I'm able to make people feel behind the camera. But
wow, that's interesting. You just said that. Mm. So you said you have corporate clients, which is great, but you're like, I hope they doesn't bother them, but it certainly doesn't bother you.
I feel the fear creep in that I was like, oh man, I could really put this client off. Maybe they won't hire me next year. But then I just have to do what I want to do with my life and make me happy first. And part of that for me is having some whimsy in life, not taking myself too seriously, and having fun. And, you know, if that doesn't work out for everybody, that's on them and not on me. And I'll find a client who that does work for. But it's definitely scary.
Exactly. No, exactly. I think you have the great approach on it. And honestly, if that corporate client did, and they didn't, obviously, right? But if they did, it's probably not going to be the client that you're going to want to work with. Simple as that, right?
It's hard not to let fear drive your decisions, though. Especially when maybe this time of year, bank accounts are a little low, maybe. But I just got to do what I got to do. Especially having kids now, I really want to show them you can be whoever you want to be. And if I'm not living in that truth, then it's going to kind of trickle down to them.
No, you got to live it, right? If you're not living it and doing it.
Life's short.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't believe yourself in what you're doing, how are you going to sell it to somebody else?
Yeah.
Personally and professionally, right?
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's just hair and it's just a color. You know, I am professional on set. I treat everybody with kindness. And I think I gain people's trust.
Well, that's interesting you say that too, Rob. So you kind of mentioned, like, I'm friendly with everybody. I'm great. You know, blah, blah, blah. You're awesome. But in my mind, if you walk through my office and I hired you, I'd be like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be awesome. I know he's creative. He is the guy I want. I know right away. You're a creative mind thinker. You're confident. Absolutely all in. And my mind wouldn't even go to the bad side and say, oh, he's, you know, he's got green hair. He might destroy the office. I mean, I'm not thinking that at all. I mean, you know, I don't
know. That warms my heart. That really warms my heart. And it's good to hear that for myself, because the thought patterns in my head are, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a punk kid. Who did we hire? All that kind of stuff. So it's good to hear your point of view.
So you're a kid, but we first met because I met you 6 years ago, and I hired you for a job that we had 6 years ago and continued to hire you and never met you, but over a phone call or over an email, and continue to feed you work. And that was 6 years ago.
Yeah. And I'm very grateful for it. So it was awesome.
Kid. I mean, it doesn't even hit my mind, because you're just really good at what you do.
Yeah, thank you.
That nothing else really mattered to me, honestly. You know, it's great. It's just wonderful.
Yeah. And I think the way I approach it, if you go to set, you're at a photo shoot, you have fun on the photo shoot, you make people feel good on the photo shoot, they're going to remember that experience and they're going to look at the photos fondly. But if you go in and you're awkward, or you can't take control of the room, you whatever have it, they'll have that memory in line in their mind, and we'll look at the photos through that lens.
That's a good point. You point that out, because I almost sometimes I call it a performance. Not that we're faking or anybody's faking, by no means. But when you're a photographer, it's like putting on a performance.
Yeah.
To get people react, to take control of the room in a meaningful way, to be productive, to make sure that people are posing correctly, they have the right smile, they feel good, because most people feel the vibe, right? I mean, don't you think?
Yeah, and you have to, like, read the room. I've gotten really good at understanding what energy I need to bring to the room. Sometimes I'm dancing and screaming and having crazy fun, but then sometimes I'm quite quiet. I let the people be contemplative and sit in that moment, and you're going to get two totally different photos based on the energy you bring. But if you go in with the wrong energy and you can't read the room, it could go pretty sideways.
Oh my gosh, it's so important, especially headshots, right? Headshots, mm-hmm. Really, it's a brand. You're building a brand for this individual. And I've done hundreds of millions of headshots over the course of my lifetime. And the importance of a headshot, I'm so passionate about it, actually. And actually, I did some studies and reports on it. And there was a study done, which is really kind of interesting. They hired four different photographers. Okay? They put them in a room, and they were hired to take headshots of four different individuals that they didn't know who they were yet, right? They separated everybody. And the assignment was, each photographer went to meet the person they were going to take headshots with. But before they walked into the room, they were told that this person, for example, Rob, you're going to take this picture of this person, but he's in jail for life. He murdered 10 people. But, you know, we want his headshots. You said, okay, no problem. I'll capture this headshot. The next person went into the next room and said, hey, I just want to let you know, this guy just won $10 million in a lottery. So we just, you know, take, you could grab a great headshot from him. The story went on is there's extreme cases about telling the photographer who they were actually taking photographs of. Mm-hmm. The images all came back. Okay. And by the way, each four photographers had the same assignment. Okay.
Right.
To go in to do this. So when the photographs came back, the photographs of the person that they were told was on death row and, you know, had a life sentence, five life sentences of murder, all their photographs of the headshot, they were, you know, harsh shadows, almost black shadows on one side. You couldn't see the face fully, right?
It was probably how it was, I would have lit it.
Right? And the individual was like far off. It wasn't a close-up headshot. It was like full body shot in the distance, right? And then the other shot of the so-called lottery winner, they had him brightly lit, nice white background, a really good close-up shot of this guy's to the point where you could see the twinkles in his eyes, the mm-hmm. sparkle in his eyes. And the results were, obviously, it was the impact of the information that was given to the photographer of what they were going to capture, which leads me up to what you just said about the vibe. And you as a photographer are going to read the room, the culture of the company, where they all stand. If you were at, I did a headshot job at Microsoft at headquarters, very high level people in mm-hmm. that room. So you had to act a certain way.
Yeah.
I don't know if jumping, screaming, and dancing would have been a good career move for me at that day because Microsoft almost put me in business that day. But, good thing I didn't jump in, but I could read the room. Mm-hmm. I didn't do that, right? But I will tell you a little funny story, though. So it actually launched my headshot career. You know, Microsoft hired me to go around the country and take headshots. That was their purpose, to hire one photographer to go around the country at the time because they wanted to capture the person that's in Florida, the person that's in Utah, the person in California, because they were all different people. They looked different, they dressed different, they'd be different because they were from different spots. But they wanted the same photographer to create the same lighting, the same format, the same look, the same design, because it would have been different based on where they were. So they actually hired me for that, which got me into this headshot program that I just blew up. But when I was there, I was not jumping up and down, but I went to sit down. I'm at the executive boardroom at Microsoft. Just look, you could probably picture the people in that room. Okay.
I've been in rooms like that.
Right. And, I don't get nervous too often, but I was getting nervous. And I went to sit down, and the chair behind me went flying one way, and I dropped on the ground.
Oh, no.
I was rolling all over the place pretty much. And I'm like, I just blew my career. I'm like, I'm in the executive boardroom, but. Oh my gosh. It's just a funny story. So that was my experience, my first day in, you know, corporate America, working for one of the biggest companies in the world, for that matter. And there's Scott rolling around on the floor at the corporate boardroom. But didn't stop me. I had a 20-year run of amazing headshots around the country. So
yeah, you just gotta get back up, maybe laugh at yourself and continue forward when that stuff happens. But yeah, it could be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, you just brought a lot of great insights. I hope the listeners kind of get where we're going with this because there's so many. You almost have to re-listen to this podcast, honestly, because if you do, you're going to learn so much. Rob's positive attitude and shift in the world. And he sees the pandemic as a blessing, like his beautiful kids, and finally got him to slow down. He doesn't see COVID as a bad negative word. And again, everybody's different. I get it. But it's the mindset of where you are. The confidence level that Rob has is just amazing. He is who he is, and he's okay with it. And if you don't like it, I'll find somebody else who does like it. And that's awesome. That's just awesome. So I just thanks for bringing on these conversations. I think I could talk all day with you, but I think somebody needs our seats in this cafe, because I haven't even taken a sip of my coffee, and I really should drink my coffee, so... Rob, I just want to say thanks. But most importantly, how can people, if you want an extraordinary headshot, how can they get a hold of you, Rob?
Just robtrendiak.com is probably the easiest way. Or Rob Spell Trendiak on Instagram.
Spell that. So Rob, R-O-B.
R-O-B-T-R-E-N-D-I-A-K.com.
Wow, that's pretty easy. Okay, awesome. Thanks, Rob.
I really appreciate it. And it's always great catching up with you.
Awesome. Can't wait to the next big headshot program.
Yeah, let's go.
Take care, Rob. See you soon.
All right, see you.